This is called the prayer of someone in exile. Psalm 42. As a deer longs for a stream of cool water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for you, the living God. When can I go and worship in your presence? Day and night I cry, and tears are my only food all the time. My enemies ask me, where is your God? My heart breaks when I remember the past, when I went with the crowds to the house of God and led them as they walked along, a happy crowd, singing and shouting praise to God. Why am I so sad? Why am I so troubled? I will put my hope in God, and I will once again praise God, my Savior and my Lord. Here in exile, my heart is breaking, and so I turn to thoughts of God. God has sent waves of sorrow over my soul. Chaos roars at me like a flood, like waterfalls thundering down to the Jordan from Mount Hermon and Mount Mizar. May the Lord show the Lord's constant love during the day, so that I may have a song at night, a prayer to the God of my life. To God, my defender, I say, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go on suffering from the cruelty of my enemies? I am crushed by their insults, and they keep on asking me, where is your God? Why am I so sad? Why am I so troubled? I will put my hope in God, and once again, I will praise God, my Savior and my Lord.
I already gave a summary of this reading with the children, but let's hear this story from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 15. If you want to read along, I'm on page 311 in your pew Bible in the Hebrew scripture section, so in the Old Testament section. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Then Elijah was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, get up and eat. He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you. He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, what are you doing here, Elijah? He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. He said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. and after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I would like to reflect this morning, and I invite you to reflect with me. We're going to get to the story in a moment, but I would like for us to reflect on the phrase from the psalm that Susan read for us. It is the phrase, "Deep calls to deep." Deep calls to deep. It's a beautiful line in that Psalm 42, where the poet is imagining the deep calling to the deep. There are many ways we could talk about this line. There are many interpretations of this line, but I want to offer us one lens of interpretation this morning. That deep calling to deep is when God's longing for the world is calling us to align our longings with God's. In other words, deep, this phrase deep is about God's longing, God's deep longing for the world, calling us to share that deep longing with God. Now, prayer is one way in which we attend to our longings, to the longings of our hearts. We may notice that in prayer that when we attend to the longings of our heart, they may not be aligned with God's longings. When our longings are not aligned with God's longings, then our prayer time could perhaps become a time when we open up ourselves to the Spirit shifting those longings within our hearts. I recently spoke to someone who said, who was telling me about how much he was filled with anger, great justifiable anger at another individual. He said to me that one morning during his time of prayer, he was walking outside and he said, "The only thing I could say to God is, God, I hate this person. I wish he never had been born. I wish he had never come into my life." That's all he really could say in his prayer time. That's prayer. That's honesty with God. We have to attend and voice sometimes just the honest prayers that are on our hearts. Now, it may take days, maybe a year, maybe years, for these feelings for this person to change. But over time, attending to the deep longing of God, this person may just start to find a shift in his own heart. Perhaps it's a move from wanting to destroy that person to just allowing him to exist. And perhaps then it could move even to a place where he would want that person to have some well-being in his life. Attending to the longing of God, deep calling to deep, is allowing ourselves to be transformed by God's longing. And sometimes that happens over time. It takes time. As many of you know, Heather and Oscar and I traveled to Atlanta this past week to be at Cooper's memorial service. Cooper, as you may have heard, was Heather's stepbrother. He was part of our family. He was 39 years old, and he died in prison in New Jersey. He had spent more of his life in prison than not, 20 years. Cooper's mom, Linda, Heather's stepmother, was Cooper's constant advocate. She fought relentlessly for his dignity and for him to be treated as a human being despite the prison system's best efforts to strip him of those God-given gifts. Our prison system is a system that's based on violence and dehumanization. It's a system connected with our country's roots in capitalism and racism, the enslavement and possession of black bodies. One of the ways our prison system is so detrimental is in its efforts to isolate people and to hinder human connection. And that is why people who are in prison or who are formerly incarcerated will often tell you that what matters most are opportunities for relationship, for connection, for love, for learning. And at Cooper's service, Linda wanted us to remember Cooper not just as a human being, and she wanted us to remember him as an artist with gifts, a theologian, someone who loved nature and loved reading and writing poetry. She wanted all the people there to know that the prayers, the letters, the cards, books, magazines that were sent to Cooper, the phone calls, the text messages, the emails that Linda received asking about Cooper, all of those seemingly small acts of love mattered so much to them because they chipped away at those concrete blocks of separation. Those acts of love were the foundation of Cooper's hope that he would someday be free. And they helped him to come to believe that he was beloved, that his life mattered, that he was created for a purpose. Linda called us in this memorial service to attend to God's deep longing for our world. Deep calls to deep. God's desire expressed through Linda was for Cooper to know that he was not forgotten, that he was beloved and worthy of life and relationship. Deep calls to deep, we were all reminded in that service that God would have us break through walls that separate us from human connection. And in this case, these were literal walls, literal prison walls. But these can often just also be metaphorical walls, walls that divide us, sometimes by the way we categorize one another as worthy or unworthy, or deserving or not deserving. God would have us break down these walls that divide us. Now, deep is calling to deep also in the story of Elijah. Elijah is fleeing for his life. He's overcome by fear. He's immobilized and unable to see any future possibility for himself or the world. He retreats into a cave and says, "God, this is too much. You can take my life right now. I don't want to live anymore." God tells Elijah that God's going to pass by real soon, and so he should listen. It's kind of interesting. God tells Elijah that God's going to talk soon. It's interesting. It's an interesting little thing in the story. So Elijah goes out of the cave, and after a great wind, an earthquake, and a fire, still Elijah doesn't hear from God. Finally, after the sound of sheer silence, he hears something, and it is the voice of God. And yet, oddly enough, what does God say? God doesn't give him a law or a rule or some pronouncement. God just asks him a question. "Elijah, what are you doing here in the cave? Why are you here? What are you doing?" I think it's kind of an anticlimactic thing in the story, right? There's the earthquake and the fire, and we're all waiting to hear what God says, and it's just a question. What are you doing here, Elijah? Isolated, alone, living in a state of constant fear, wanting nothing except for your life and your misery to end. Sometimes deep calls to deep with a question that is aimed to move us out of our places of immobility and hopelessness. Deep calling to deep, and we are asked again to connect with what God would want for us and for others. That question, "What are you doing here?" is to say, "You can't stay here, Elijah. This is not what I want for you." Can we allow God's longing to become our longing? That's the question. Can we listen for how the heart of God is being revealed to us? Sometimes God's heart is revealed to us through people. This week, to me, it was revealed through the life of Cooper and through Linda calling us to attend to what matters most to God. Sometimes the heart of God is revealed to us through silence, and we must not get too picky about what kind of messaging we'd like to hear in the silence from God. Because sometimes God's not really into giving us answers as much as God is wanting to ask us a question for us to reflect upon, to say, what am I doing here? What are we doing here? What does God want me to do? Where do I need to move out of my own cave? So the question is, will we take the time to reflect on whether our longings are aligned with the longings of God? Will we wonder, what is God's deep desire? And how are we called to embody God's desire in the world? It sounds like a lot to ask, doesn't it? Becoming an embodiment of God's desire for the world? It is a lot to ask, actually. That's why we're here. God is not usually cool with the status quo, as far as I've noticed. So we must ask ourselves, are we up for the challenge in our prayer lives, in our communal life together? Are we up for the challenge of attending to God's longing for the world so that we might become an embodiment of it? Deep calls to deep. God's deep longing is calling on our deep longings. Let me close with a prayer for us. It's in Icelandic. I learned it as a hymn growing up, and I'm going to pray it in Icelandic, and then I'm going to translate it for us. Let us pray. Þú mikli Guð ert með oss á jörðu, miskunn þín nær en geistli á kinn. Eins og við finnum andvara morguns, eins skynjar hjartað kærleik þinn. Djúp þín lind sem lífgar og nærir. Lófin þinn stór vort eilífa hlé. Gjörð þú oss Kristur Guðssonur góði, greinar á þínu lífsins tré. You, O great God, are with us on this earth. Your mercy is close. The gentle, quiet winds of the morning remind us that your heart is love. Deep are your waters that nourish. Vast is the palm of your hand that gives rest. You are the tree of life, O Christ. Make us your branches. Amen.